Conditions tend to multiply and subdivide needs, means, and enjoyments indefinitely, a process which has no qualitative limits. This is luxury. In the same process, however, dependence and want increase without limit, and the material to meet them is permanently barred to the needy man, because it consists of external objects, property, to which he has no access.
In short, Hegel contends that poverty occurs when society creates material needs and then cannot satisfy them. The goods are there, but most people don't have the money to buy them. Hegel is interested not only in the economics of the situation, but in the personal and social consequences of poverty. As he puts it, he wants to know the consciousness that develops in the minds of those in want.
The poor still have the needs common to civil society, and yet, since society has withdrawn from them the natural means of acquisition and broken the bond of the family, their poverty leaves them more or less deprived of all the advantages of society, of the opportunity of acquiring skill or education of any kind, as well as the administration of justice, the public health services, and often even of the consolations of religion.
Hegel says civil society creates a mass of human beings who are alienated from it. To be sure, society is the bond of unity between individuals, but it also brings into being a vast group who are outside of the society.
When the standard of living of a large mass of people falls below a certain subsistence level, and when there is a consequent loss of the sense of right and wrong, of honesty and the self-respect which makes a man insist on maintaining himself by his own work and effort, the result is the creation of a rabble of paupers.
Hegel goes on to say that poverty doesn't make men into a rabble. They become alienated. They develop an inner indignation against the rich, against society and the government, because of their unfortunate circumstances. Their inner consciousness is the result of their outer degradation. We need to recall that Hegel's analysis of poverty is meant to show a part of the dialectic of objective mind. He wants to show the positive contribution that can be made by the state in overcoming the ills of civil society. In view of the situation he describes, Hegel calls for state intervention to correct the imbalance of extravagance and want.
The differing interests of producers and consumers may come into collision with each other, and also a fair balance between them on the whole may be brought about automatically. Still, the adjustment also requires a control, which stands above both and is consciously undertaken. The right to the exercise of such control, for example in the fixing of prices of the commonest necessities of life, depends on the fact that by being publicly exposed for sale, goods in absolutely universal daily demand are offered not so much to an individual as such, but rather to a universal purchaser, the public. And thus both the defense of the public's right not to be defrauded, and also the management of goods inspected, may lie as a common concern with a public authority.
This system can be contrasted with the legal tradition that puts the responsibility on the consumer. Let the buyer beware. But for Hegel, the state represents the common good. This authority stands beyond producers and consumers. It stands beyond civil society itself. The state provides a wider perspective and fulfills the role of an authority. Hegel says this is especially important when international commerce is involved.
Public care and direction are most of all necessary in the case of larger branches of industry, because these are dependent on conditions abroad and on combinations of distant circumstances which cannot be grasped as a whole by the individuals tied to these industries for their living.
When Hegel says the state should guarantee actual freedom, he means that it should exert enough control to overcome the conflicts of civil society. it should be active enough to achieve a just economic order. Unfortunately, Hegel's Real Philosophy was only a manuscript that he never published. This may explain why there is no further detail about how much government control is enough. There's also no guidance about who establishes and applies these limits. We're left with the general observation that without a just economic order, freedom can be no more than an ideal. Hegel believes the third and final stage in the odyssey of mind is the total realization of mind, or spirit. He refers to this third stage in various ways, as absolute spirit, God, or simply the absolute. These expressions, of course, don't exactly coincide in meaning. But sorting them out is too long and complex an affair for our purposes. Hegel didn't always use these terms consistently, and there are many differences of opinion among Hegel's interpreters and critics. Despite all this, we can't...